Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wealth Blend podcast with CrossShield Financial, where we bring financial news topics, fresh money insights, bold conversations, and real financial strategies to help you win with money. Each week, we break down the hottest financial news, help you cut through the noise, and show you how to turn knowledge into action. But here's the secret sauce. Having a financial coach in your corner changes everything. And of course, we keep things fun, high energy, and practical with a little help from our quirky mascot, Zoodles, because finance doesn't have to be boring. So grab your favorite coffee, settle in, and let's blend the tools, insights, and coaching support you need to build wealth with confidence and purpose. I'm Rudy Upshaw, CEO and founder of CrossShield Financial, and today I've got an amazing lineup joining me. Actually, I think our lineup today is just two of us. So we do have Zoodles kind of joining. He's going to hang out with us today. And we also have our amazing senior financial coach with us today, Mrs. Amanda Hershberger. Amanda, welcome to the show today. How are you, Amanda?
Thanks so much. Doing good. It's a busy day, so I'm excited to get a lot done.
Love it. We've got some really, really cool articles that we're going to talk about today. I did want to reach out and just wish our executive assistant, Allie Long, the best. She is not feeling well today. Normally, Allie would be joining us. And also our amazing professional financial coach, Nick Bowater. Nick is has some other appointments today. So again, Amanda, like you said, we are very busy here. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things happening in the news for us to talk about today. We've got some really cool articles. But man, it's a busy season. It's good because it tells me that people are very intentional about taking back control of their money and building that wealth. And for many of us who have maybe tried to do this over many years or sometimes decades, doing it on our own, we can probably get there, but it may take twice as long or 10 years as long as it would bringing a financial coach into the conversation, helping us establish those goals, those dreams, and also keeping us accountable so that we build that wealth quickly. So anyway, yeah. So let's go ahead and jump into the articles that we have today or the trending kind of hot news. We want to bring in a conversation today. This is a post that we ran across, and this post is about car warranties, extended car warranties. And the conversation are these a scam? Are extended car warranties scams? Amanda, have you had any experience with car warranties in the past? I have, but I wanted to kind of reach out to you and see if you had just any experience with them before we show this particular clip.
Well, one of my many, many ventures, I grew up actually in an auto shop. So my dad owned an auto shop. So I also did service work and worked at dealerships growing up, you know, through college to help pay my way through college. And so I'm actually extremely familiar with extended warranties, not by me personally, but by when people come in with them. So, yes.
Gotcha. Well, good. Well, let's go ahead and show this just a small clip. I don't think we have time to play the entire clip, but just want to show a little bit of it to the group. So let me go ahead and get that all teed up for us. And I think that works pretty good. Let's go ahead and show this to the group.
Zach here says that the biggest scam in this industry is the extended warranties that dealers try to sell people. What are your thoughts on those?
Okay, well, because that is a kind of a warranty. There's two different kinds of warranties that I've seen is the ones that you can buy outright at the dealers. I mean, obviously the dealers want you to buy warranties. Their finance guys make money on that. The dealership makes money on that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but those tend to be, you know, worked into your loan, $3,000, $2,500, $4,000, whatever it is. And then there's the ones that you pay monthly for that you see advertised all over the place, $89 a month, $100 a month, whatever it is.
Yeah, are those worth it for somebody to buy those?
Those monthly ones are, I would not recommend those. And a lot of the ones that you buy at the dealerships are not much better. Here's what you got to remember. I don't think there's anything wrong with the warranties per se. You just have to know there's a contract and you need to read that contract very closely. And in a lot of cases, take it somewhere. We read the contracts for you. Now, we're not lawyers, but we are, you know, we do run a shop. We know what these warranties read like. And an example would be, you know, they'll cover everything in the air conditioner system, but they don't cover So let's say they'll cover everything and they have the accumulator listed. I'm just throwing this out there. So when the compressor goes bad, okay, the accumulator needs to be done. That's just part of the process, along with the flush and some other things. But they're not going to cover that accumulator then, because the accumulator itself didn't fail. The compressor failed, and then that requires accumulator replacement. The accumulator is never going to fail. The accumulator itself, unless it breaks or something pops, you know, it just weld breaks on or something like that, it's never going to fail itself. So it looks great. Hey, it covered. You know, that's covered. And people will read it in the warranty. It's covered. It's not covered if something else requires it to be replaced. It's only covered if it breaks. Yeah. There's lots of stuff in these warranties that are like that. So you just have to be aware of that. The biggest thing that we see is people will walk in the door. I got an extended warranty, bumper to bumper. I'm covered, right? I got a $50 deductible, $100 deductible. I'm good. So they think that the only thing that's coming out of their pocket is $50, right? Yeah. That is never going to be the case. CarMax is about the only one that's really real close to that.
Yep.
And it's still not perfect like that, but I mean, it's real close. So CarMax ones are actually really good. And we do take those, and we do take them all. We deal with a lot of these things, but I mean, I've seen one of my employees sitting on the phone over there literally for 8 hours on hold with a warranty company, with that phone sitting on speaker doing their work while they're waiting for one of them to pick up, because it's almost like it's a war of attrition. They're mm-hmm. just waiting for us to hang up and give up,
yeah.
You know, and we go through, jump all through the fiery hoops for our clients because we want to get this stuff taken care of. But here's the thing. Whatever the warranty labor rate is not going to be what the shop's labor rate is generally.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if a shop is, you know, whatever the number is, $150 an hour, $200 an hour, whatever it is, a lot of these warranty companies will pay like $75 an hour. That's not even in the realm of reality.
Some of them are going up a little bit more than that here lately. Yeah. I've been dealing with them.
They're
going
to have to.
But we literally had a Porsche in here right now that needs some work, and they're only covering $119 an hour on a Porsche.
Yeah.
So, you know, but okay, so... That the aftermarket ones, the ones that you see on the commercials and stuff, you don't recommend. If they're going to get one, maybe purchase a car from CarMax, and they yeah. have a pretty solid warranty. I've seen them stick up for people, so that would be your recommendation there.
That'd be my recommendation. That I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the ones you get from the dealers. Just need to be reading the contract real close before you buy, because some of those can be really expensive.
Okay, cool.
And there's ways to get out of them too. So if you don't use them, there's ways to get out of them and get some of your money back. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, cool. Yep. All right, thanks, man.
All right. So great information. A big shout out to Royalty Automotive. We're going to give them some perps and include them in the links as well. And we'll also throw a shout out to CarMax, because they were quoted in there. We haven't had direct experience with those with CarMax. But anyway, so yeah, I love the information in that that video. It does talk about, he was referring to the warranty that you get at the dealership with used car or new,
yeah.
Where you pay for that warranty kind of up front. They appeared to feel like that those warranties probably are a little bit better than the ones that you buy the aftermarket, where you make kind of a monthly payment type thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so why don't you just share a little bit about your experience with the kind of the warranty piece, and then how we coach with people, how we recommend people if they're interested in exploring that, or maybe even if they have a current one, how we would coach someone about the extended car warranties.
Yeah, these, oh man, extended car warranties. I've had so much experience with them, just because when I was a service advisor, I would help people try to get, you know, their claims done, because they did this and I was trying to help them get the most out of their money. And they're right, you're sitting on the phone forever with these people trying to, I would literally sit there and start at 7 a.m. and wait for 3 or 4 hours till I could finally resolve something. It was crazy. But extended car warranties, they're a dime a dozen. There's so many out there. They're all over the place, especially the ones that are monthly. Goodness, they're so scammy. And they promise the sun and the moon and the stars, and you end up with, you know, a crumble of, you know, cookie dust on the floor. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing like what it actually is. You know, there is those aftermarket warranties that are, you know, you get with your used vehicle, but honestly, the most cost effective way that I've seen people do this is warranty yourself. You know, like, let's say you were paying $5,000 for this warranty, save $5,000. Most big repairs that are going to come up in your vehicle, it's about how much it's going to cost is $5,000 to $6,000. And you're probably going to run into one of those big things at some point in your vehicle's life. Vehicles just aren't perfect. My husband's transmission went out. And so our goal for each month is we save $100 a month for our maintenance on our vehicles for the big stuff, the tires, the brakes, the big stuff. And we had this money saved over a long period of time. And lo and behold, the transmission went out. And so we were like, okay, what's it going to cost us? They're like, okay, it's going to cost $6,000. You're going to get a warranty on it. It lasts for the life, the remainder of the vehicle and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And I was like, great. And then we just took that money that we had been saving over that long period of time in a high yield savings account, nothing fancy, and paid it. And we were able to warranty ourselves. We didn't have to call anybody. We didn't have to hope and pray that, we'd be covered or that particular thing. Because he's right. It has to be the part itself that is covered.
That fails. Or
fails. And they cover the parts that don't fail very much. Like the part that he was speaking to, I've maybe only seen fail once. And I grew up in an auto shop. And it's the other components that cause it to fail that causes that component to fail. So those are usually the ones that aren't covered. So be very, very careful. I mean, and it's such a tricky thing. It's so much simpler. Take that money, save it monthly.
Yeah.
And just have it available there and it will simplify your life so much.
Yeah, for sure. And it'll save you some money, save you some grief.
Right.
So again, on this car warranty conversation, when we buy a car, when we buy a house, when we buy an asset that is a physical asset, we want our audience to be thinking about, okay, this is a physical thing. This physical thing is going to need repairs. It's going to need to have updates.
It will.
But especially in an appreciable asset like a car or a boat or, you know, it actually reduces value. Cars purchased, let's say you buy a new car, it's going to lose 60% of its value in 5 years on average. So what that means is the value of that vehicle is going to go down every single year, typically about 12% every year. It's going to reduce in value. At the same time, it's also going to need some maintenance, some repairs, and those can be pretty costly. And so what we tell people is, hey, you know what? If you can purchase a vehicle, you want to, number one, pay cash, save up money to pay cash for it. Number two, we also want you to, in your budget process, the healthy budget process, we want to make sure that you have sinking funds set aside in your budget so that some dollar amount every single month gets set aside to cover those repairs that are going to have happen. That is you owning a vehicle, a car, and that is that car not owning you. So,
yes,
great conversation. I love your perspective on that, Amanda. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's a tricky world. It hasn't gotten any easier. And so, yeah, just anytime you get those little mailers in for that extended warranty, just go ahead and shred them. It's fine.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about our next article here. And this article is on the dealing with Social Security is heading from bad to worse. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The author is Ann Turgeson. And Amanda, I'd love for you to go ahead and just kind of tee this article up on what it is and kind of the major points in it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, a lot of it's in the title. You're dealing with Social Security, issues. If anybody has dealt with Social Security in the past 5 years, they know how fun it is to try. And by fun, that is in big quotation marks, how fun it is to contact them. And if you can at all.
Amanda, would you mind for our audience, sorry for interrupting you, just tell our audience, some of those may not really understand what Social Security is and why we talk about it all the time when it comes
to it. So Social Security, it's a benefit that we receive. And the Social Security Administration is the people that manage that benefit. Social Security is something that you actually pay in your paycheck, whether you're self-employed or an employee. Every single on all earned income, gets taxed from Social Security and Medicare. A certain percentage of your check, you have to pay for that. And then your employer, or if you're self-employed, you get to pay the other half. And so all of these benefits go into this account. And then so that later on, you can receive a Social Security benefit when you retire, or certain individuals that are disabled also get this benefit. And sometimes also survivors of those people get those benefits. And so that's what all of that is. It's much more complicated, but that's sort of the broad strokes of it. And so
kind of a forced savings a U.S. citizen that does, correct, you know, earn income. And I think it was put in place back in 1935. It was. So kind of, it was a thing that came out of the Great Depression era and all those type of things. So anyway, go ahead, Amanda.
Yeah, it was basically a forced version of you saving for retirement. And so, it's been moving along. It's, you know, it's, and you say 1935, that's not even 100 years old yet. It's still a newer process. And in this, we have what's called baby boomers, and we had a large population boost, and those are called the baby boomers. And guess what? Baby boomers are starting to retire. And so it's causing this big influx of people that are trying to claim Social Security. And so that means lots more phone calls, lots more claims, lots of things are happening. And so it gets busy and it gets, you know, clogged in the mix. And that's, so it's talking about one woman's experience of unsuccessfully trying to file a Social Security claim. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a bit cumbersome. You've kind of got to jump through the hoops, but that's pretty much like any thing you're trying to claim in any government situation, you know, at any level. Yeah. So, you know, I understand her frustration there. And so they're taught, you know, but, you know, as we all know, DOGE is working on making cutbacks on all expenses in all areas, including Social Security. And so this is putting a lot of people on edge. What a lot of people don't realize, though, is that a very scary statistic in here that shows that in, what was it, 2033, which is 8 years from now, the reserves, the extra money that's sitting aside for this situation that's not continually incoming, but like the extra that's set aside, is going to run out if something doesn't change in the budget. And so that doesn't mean that the benefits would completely go away for these people. It just means that it would be reduced by 21%. So
that's what they're projecting, yeah.
That's what they're projecting. And
based
so
on today's structure, yes, and everything, yeah.
Based on the current structure that is running. And so that's a little bit terrifying. And so for a lot of people. And so me personally, I have a personal philosophy of relying on myself for my retirement. And so I'm not really relying on Social Security because I want to be in charge of my own future. And so, and I think that's not a terrible philosophy to have. But for those that are getting close to retirement, this can be a really scary thing, especially if they're heavily resting on this portion as some of their income when they retire. So what do they do? That's terrifying, right? Well, reach out to us. We'd love to help guide you through a process where you can go from fear to, you know, out of that fear into feeling more powerful and feeling in charge of your life, because nobody wants to work in fear. It's terrifying. You know, we want to help you gain that power back and say, what does that look like for me? And how can I change this now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I only have 10 years to retirement. Is that even possible? Yes, it's absolutely possible. You still have time, plenty of time left to turn this around and change your story.
Yeah, you do. And I hear a lot of people talk about, I'll be able to live on my Social Security income. And back when Social Security was put in place, I mean, there was a lot of that thought process,
right,
at that point in time. But here we are, you know, what are we today? We are, my goodness, it is, what, 11 years away from being 100 years, so 89 years after the fact, right, when it was put in place.
Yeah.
Well, the world is totally different, right, today than kind of what we were thinking it might be back then. And so the other piece of this whole conversation is that's changed in our culture is that, number one, debt was extremely taboo for many, many years, mm-hmm. right? If you had any debt, especially any consumer debt,
oh yeah,
it was a negative, because that we understood back then that debt can be a significant chain around us that keeps us from doing the things we want to do. But also, debt doesn't factor in a lot of the betas, a lot of the risk of life, right? So our society and our culture has changed quite a bit. And where, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, we started to really embrace mm-hmm. consumer debt and be okay with consumer debt because it was very easy to get. And, you know, our mentality changed. So now we have a lot of debt. I have people that are in their 60s that I have worked with and am working with currently that they have no retirement, or they have very little retirement.
Yeah.
And they also have debt, consumer debt, car debt, credit card debt. When we get to be in our 60s, the expectation years ago was for us to be able to have everything paid off, including our house.
Right.
So we have no debt whatsoever. In those scenarios, Social Security is a little bit more helpful in that way. But we're in a place where we're at the largest levels of consumer debt ever in our entire history. So mm-hmm. this conversation about this article on Social Security being a challenge, it's just a huge, huge issue and a huge, huge problem. So to your point, Amanda, listen, we don't want to put our head in the sand. No. We want to be informed about what Social Security is. We want to be informed about how much of the benefit we may receive. And we got to get our budget in a good, healthy place very, very quickly. To your point, 8 years before, in the current structure, the reserves won't be there anymore. Mm-hmm. What we do now to prepare for those things. And you're right. It's all about having a healthy budget and having someone walk alongside you to help you get there as quickly as possible. Amanda, our audience may be able to kind of get there, but it may take 5 or 10 years of behavior change, modification, knowing what the healthy budget looks like. But if they engage with you or one of our financial coaches here at CrossShield, they can do that much more quickly. It's a time issue right now. It's a time and energy issue, right?
It is. It really is. Time is of the essence, especially in those last few years.
Right. Yeah. It in the energy, right? Maybe that I may need a little bit more income in my situation. Let me get there. Well, time goes on. If I'm in my 50s, my energy level is probably... So we just want to encourage the audience. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are, this issue is affecting everyone. As early as you can start, please start. Get with a financial coach. Let's get this stuff figured out. Let's make sure that you're going to be okay. So any other 100%. Thoughts on that, Amanda?
No, I agree completely. It's, I always lean on the fact that yes, there are mitigating factors that we can't always control, but let's help you focus on what you can control, because you can find a whole lot more security, but you can actually find a whole lot more security in you taking charge of your future and us helping you show you how. Yeah. And I promise it'll help you sleep a whole lot better at night and not worry about news articles and headlines like that that may cause you to have some indigestion a bit. Trust me, if I have indigestion at my age, I know you're having indigestion.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's check out this next article. And then when we get done with that, we want to have our coach's corner. So, oh my gosh, this next article. Ooh, there's so much here. Okay, so this is from the Wall Street Journal. And this is from Oyen, A-D-O-D-O-N. And that's the name. And we'll put that in the link. But this is an important article. We've talked about kind of the subject matter a few times, but the article says, it's titled, Millions of Student Borrowers Are at Risk of Credit Score Falls. This is dated March the 26th. All these articles are current this week. All right. So, Amanda, I would love for you to kind of kick us off again on this article. And maybe we should just touch directly on what this article specifically is about, and then kind of back up into some other areas to be considering for us as a community.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to give the headlines. So just like it says, millions. So millions. More than 9 million people are delinquent.
Nine.
On student loan payments. That's a lot of people in the U.S. And so this is going to affect a broad spectrum of people. And so what it's letting us know is that so far, people that have been delinquent on their student loan payments, it hasn't been reflected in their credit score. And that's about to change. So when they, you know, when people are looking to borrow money for a car payment or a house or anything like that, this delinquency previously has not been showing up for everybody, but it's about to start. And so that can mean big things for a lot of people that, you know, like seeing your credit score drop so quickly, that can be by, I think it said 176 points.
171 point drop.
Yeah.
Okay, for our audience that maybe you and I understand what we're talking about.
Right.
Let's go back. So
Yeah.
Why would their credit score drop? They've had their student loans, they're still out there. They still owe on the student loans. That hasn't changed.
Right.
They haven't been required to make a payment.
Right.
And everybody's okay with that. So why would all of a sudden, maybe starting in January, I think it talked about you'd start to see some things.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the score drop? What's the thing that's changed?
The thing that changes is, so when your credit score raises or drops, it's because what is being reported to the credit bureau.
Okay.
And that's why even knowing what your credit score is important. That's why when we're coaching our people and telling them about their credit score and all of these things, we tell them which one to look at, because that makes a difference because of who reports to what and what actually matters, which in the end, you know, we talk about no debt, which is what really matters. But in this situation, when you do have debt, the people that have the loan against you, they're required to report it. And that's what changes your score. And so that's what's happening, is they're reporting this now.
They weren't reporting it before.
Exactly. And because, so,
yeah, got it.
Yeah. And so now that they are reporting it, this will cause the change to happen. How significantly it changes depending on your credit score currently, of course. So it's not exactly 171 point drop for everybody. It depends on a lot of factors, how far behind you are, how much debt there is. There's a lot of factors that play into that number. And so, but in the end, it will affect us negatively. So, Rudy, I'd love to hear your thoughts and,
more. So fun. This is, you know, the not reporting. I don't know if the article actually talks about how long, many of the lenders have not been reporting, those accounts to the bureaus, but I mean, obviously this started changing, you know, during COVID. Right. So we're now in the fifth anniversary of when COVID began. So we'll just kind of make an assumption. It's probably been, at least 4+ years, potentially, when maybe some of the reporting on the student loan delinquencies or the student loan, stop hadn't reported. And I'm going to guess that probably many of our listeners, if they have student loans, they probably did receive some credit or maybe took out some new borrowings in that time frame based on potentially maybe a higher credit score at that time frame. So, audience, when we look at, the student loan lenders now reporting that information, maybe there is a delinquency, whatever it may be. But if we're talking about 171 points, as this article references, in a decline in your credit score, the highest credit scores that you can get are anywhere between 830 and 850 in the current algorithms.
Right.
Okay. So if you drop that by 170, now we're in the ballpark on the high side, potentially of like a 660. And if your score today is even less than that highest, I mean, we're talking credit scores now in the 400s and 500s potentially.
Right.
So the impact, and I'm speaking to this, as a former banker, what happens many times is the lenders that have these accounts, they are monitoring the credit information of their borrowers because that's an asset for them. So they kind of need to know what's the health of my asset. So if they have, their credit, their customers and their credit scores go down, there could be not only an impact of maybe not being able to purchase or borrow money if need be or want to be, there's really not a, never a need really, but, right. But number two, if they're monitoring their portfolio and their credit scores in that portfolio start to decline, they do what are called soft pulls, a little kind of check. They may actually be in a situation where they may call those accounts in. They may want those accounts to be moved to another creditor. Mm-hmm. They may require there to be a maybe a higher payment to try to get that paid off early, depending on what the type of loan that it is. So this has such a deep and broad and impactful, negative impactful impact to the borrower. It's huge, incredibly huge. So Amanda, as a senior financial coach here at CrossShield, you've got clients that may have some student loans. And if you don't, if you have someone that comes in and you say, oh my gosh, I've got student loans, I don't know what this means, and mm-hmm. my money's really tight, how would you advise someone having a conversation with them about how to mitigate this and how to work through this so that they are less impacted?
The biggest thing I tell people is, once again, don't hide your head in the sand. Please stop hiding your head in the sand. It will not make the problem go away. It will only make the mess worse. Like you tell us all the time, Rudy, don't give fear time. We give fear 5 seconds and then we face it. And that's exactly what you have to do with this. And some of you, some of these people have big mountains. Some of these people have six-figure student loans that are terrifying. And they say, I don't even know how I'm going to make ends meet. Much less actually pay for the student loan payment. So we start there. We start by facing the fear and we start by seeing exactly what is there. Most people that come to us, they're like, well, I think I owe about this and the total is this. And I'm like, okay, so let's find out the details about it, because most of these people don't even know the details about their loans. I'm like, okay, is how much is subsidized, unsubsidized? There's lots of questions that get involved there. And they're like, I don't know. And that's the answer we normally get, because they let fear take over their heart and they don't actually know what they're dealing with. When you know the monster you're dealing with, it becomes a lot easier to handle. And it becomes a lot easier to handle when you have somebody helping you that doesn't have that fear component happening to them in that moment. We have no emotional ties to this. And so it's easier for us to see it for what it is, not the big thing we've built up in our head.
Right.
And so so that's where I say start. See what you actually have, see what's actually there, see when it's due, see how far behind you are, because that gives us, that helps us help you say, okay, this is how you get out of it. This is, let's help you build a budget. Let's help you find out how much money you actually have to go towards this, so that we can start having conversations with these lenders, you teaching you how to have conversations with those lenders to resolve this.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing what you can do when you actually talk to a human and you talk to the right human at those places, and you can actually start resolving this and start getting some peace about it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be easy? No, but it's doable. And you're going to sleep a whole lot better knowing that you can do something instead of the fear of the unknown.
Mm. Yeah. And what I hear you say is, you know, I've walked through situations financially where it was just overwhelming, and I did not want to, you know, make the call. I did not want to look it up online to see what the balances were. And I was just, but I knew that I needed help. Right. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew how to start. Right? I knew I needed to get the information, but oh my gosh, Amanda, when in those situations, when I reached out to someone, said, you know what? I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I really don't know where to begin and I need help, but I don't even know how or what to ask for in helping me.
Right.
So one of the great things that we do here at CrossShield is, number one, we have, there's no judgment policy that we have here.
Right.
Number one. Number two, everything we talk about is absolutely confidential. And then lastly, we care about our clients. We care about their situation, because many of us on the coaching side have walked through similar things. So I just want to say, get someone in your corner, get someone coming in with your situation that loves you, that cares about you and can help you. And we've proven it time and time again. So these articles that have a lot of scary things going on with them, yeah, they can be scary, but you know what? Having a financial coach walk alongside you in this process, it makes all the difference, like we said in our intro. So I love your perspective on this, Amanda. Let's go ahead and just Coach's Corner. This is kind of our time to anything cool that's been happening with any clients that we have, anything that we want to talk about. Let's just kind of jump in there. So Amanda, I'd love for you to kind of just share anything really cool that's going on with any of your clients that you'd like to let our audience know about.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a client. She just is looking at a job change. And you sometimes forget as a human that job change can be terrifying. Mm. Even positive job changes.
Yeah.
Where you're moving into a field where it's something that your sweet spot, where you actually want to go into this trajectory where it will actually take you where you want to be in your career. That can still be terrifying. Yeah. And change is always terrifying. We love sitting in our status quo. It's comfortable. We know what it looks like, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. We don't care. It's comfortable and we know it and we're happy, without change. Change is terrifying. And so it was really wonderful to be able to help somebody walk through that, and knowing it's a scary situation, knowing that change is, even good change, is terrifying. Yeah. What are the best next moves? Because doing those changes, even when there's positive, even when you have one job on the other end, you already have a job offer on the other end and everything, runs smoothly. It can still be terrifying. We actually did that with my husband. We changed companies, and that's the whole reason we live in Oklahoma now versus Texas, is because of that change. And it was good, but it's still terrifying. And there's lots of financial components that can be involved there. Yeah. And so being able to help somebody walk through that, it was a joy. And I'm so thankful that they trusted me to help them walk through that situation and be able to be there for them. I was like, oh, and don't forget to text me when this happens, because depending on that you make this or this decision. And it's so refreshing for them to actually reach out and say, hey, this is what happened. What's my next step? And I can say, awesome. Okay. Based on that, this is what your next step is. And so it's very honoring and humbling to be able to help somebody through that situation, because I remember how terrifying that was.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Because it has a financial component to it.
It does. But
it's more than just the money piece.
It really is
helping someone achieve the goals that they want, which in this case is, I need a change in the career piece. So, exactly. Very powerful. So for me, I've got a client that, I've been working with now, not too long. And it's interesting, I think probably a lot of financial coaches, there's a specific demographic audience that really kind of is drawn to us. And that demographic is, that it's female, right? Most of the households across the U.S., about 60% of those households, the money management process is done by the female, whether they're married or not. But we also find that for us, we attract a lot of single female clients, because they want and need that accountability partner. And maybe they don't have that from a spouse situation. So anyway, I've got a single female client, and we've been working together for a few months. And the commentary that I have is, she felt like she had a pretty good grasp on her budget, on her numbers, how money was flowing in and out, where it was coming from, how much she needed. She actually had her own spreadsheets that she was kind of working things through. What she didn't have is she didn't have the accountability partner. She also didn't have someone that had the experience of kind of knowing kind of how things worked within that healthy budget process. So we've been working together now, and a lot of self-awareness has occurred for her, and she's made the decision, okay, I have goals. She's in her, I'd say she's probably in her early 40s, and but she has some goals that she wants to meet. Well, she understands through our coaching process that I've gotten my expenses down to just the bare minimum, and I'm doing okay. I'm not, rice and beans, but I'm being very frugal. But I've identified that with my goals, I've got to have more income coming in. Mm-hmm. It's not an expense issue. It's an income issue. So she has, on her own accord, been not just looking, but she's gotten two additional part-time jobs in addition to her full-time.
Wow!
Because she says, you know what? I've got these goals. I'm not going to allow myself to be a victim of the circumstances that maybe I've allowed myself to put in. and I want to step up and do this. And so we kind of mapped out her income, mapped out how long it would take for her to get out of debt. And it's right at kind of our 2-year mark that she will be able to be fully debt free within 2 years. I think she'll be fully debt free less than that.
Right.
And then we looked at her retirement, what she can contribute once she gets her fully funded emergency fund. Within like 30 months max, all debts paid off, fully funded emergency fund, and now she's contributing $1,500 a month to her retirement. Wow. And I think the numbers that we looked at based on her potential retirement age was $3.7 million.
Nice. Perfect.
All because she's chosen to follow the process, be guided by a financial coach, and submit herself to that authority. So it's really cool to see all that. So anyway,
absolutely.
Our clients do amazing things, Amanda. Oh my gosh.
They really do. I love it when somebody takes charge of their life, and because excuses are easy. They just are.
Yep.
But when somebody steps up like that and says, no, I'm going to take 2 part-time gigs. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to make this happen. This is a temporary part of my life. And I spoke with another client and she just finished that part of her journey where she busted her butt and she worked so hard and she did all the extras that she could and she saved where she could. And she made it happen. And in a year she got out of that debt. And now it's fun getting to teach her how to live on the opposite side and actually let loose a little bit. Cause it is hard. She's worked that muscle for a whole year and now she gets to work the other fun muscle of saying, okay, we're doing our 15% retirement's good. Everything's good here. Now have some fun. And she's like, oh, it's so hard. I'm like, I know it is, but you're doing great. And so it's fun getting to push somebody on the opposite end too and saying, well, I need a pair of glasses. I'm like, buy the glasses. You have 3 times that amount in your budget left over. Just buy the glasses.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so much fun so it's rewarding to get to see the other part of that because it is, it's temporary.
Yeah,
that hustling, that those 2 extra jobs that she's going to do and to get to her goals, that's temporary. And then she gets to enjoy the other part where she gets to see that retirement grow like your client and still get to put to retirement. And what a joy to be able to see that side of it. I love it. It's my favorite part.
I love it too. Well, that's a wrap on this week's hot financial topics. Let's recap and talk about your next steps, audience. So, all right, before we close this out, let's talk about what's next for you. You just took in some powerful financial insights and about relevant information that's real time. But remember, information alone does not change your life. Action does. The difference between where you are now and where you want to be, it's the steps you take today. So let's make this real. Step 1, take the first move. If you're tired of feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or unsure of your next financial step, you do not have to figure it out all alone. That's why we do what we do here at CrossShield. So in the description, you have a link to book a free 15-minute coaching session, and we want to help you get a clear direction and path on what actually will work for you. Step 2, stay in the right circle. Winning with money is easier when you're surrounded by people who are learning, growing, and pushing forward too. Join us online for weekly insights, real strategies, and encouragement to keep you moving forward. And then step 3, help someone else take that step. If you found value in today's episode, hit like, subscribe, and send this episode to someone who needs to hear it. Sometimes a simple conversation about money is all it takes to start making a change. New episodes drop every Friday at 3 p.m. So stay connected, stay learning, and let's do this together. Now, take a deep breath, grab that coffee or water if you choose, and remember, your financial future isn't set in stone. It's built by the choices you make today. Make them count. Until next time, stay focused, stay intentional, and keep blending that wealth. Amanda Hershberger, thank you so much for being here today, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
All right.